Goldstein. We start with the long-running saga of the Dakota Access Pipeline, which seems to be drawing to a close. But there have been recent reports of vandalism against the pipeline in South Dakota, and a different kind of protest has emerged. Amy Sisk has been reporting on the pipeline for Inside Energy and Prairie Public and joins us with details. Amy, construction is wrapping up on the pipeline. So what's the status of construction, and when will Energy Transfer partners turn on the pipeline?
Yeah, so the last couple of weeks, workers have been drilling a hole underneath the Missouri River and laying the pipe. And to put this into context for you, this pipeline is 1,200 miles long, but it's just this little section that has been held up for a number of months. And obviously, it's been very controversial. Now, Energy Transfer Partners says that the line may become operational this week. They have to do a little bit of testing before they can turn it on.
Now, there have been some reports of vandalism to the pipeline in South Dakota. How much do we know about what happened?
So Energy Transfer Partners filed a construction status report in court earlier this week. And in it, they described coordinated physical attacks that have been happening recently against the pipeline. And so these attacks have not happened here in North Dakota, but one did happen last week in South Dakota. And authorities say that somebody caused a hole in the line. They think that somebody actually burned a hole in the line at a valve site that's above ground. And they're investigating who did this, but meanwhile, the pipeline company says this isn't going to deter their plans to turn on the pipeline, and they still plan to do that very soon.
Now, Amy, protests against the pipeline received national attention, and for months they were taking place on the ground in rural North Dakota at camps that were set up near the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. Those camps have since been cleared, but are people still actively protesting?
Yeah, the camps were cleared in February when law enforcement went in and essentially forced everybody who was left to leave the camps. And then there was this huge cleanup effort that took place with, you know, the state trying to clear out debris, shelters that protesters had left behind, abandoned vehicles. And now that that's done, the fight definitely has shifted gears. So the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, which is the main tribe that's led the charge against this pipeline, they organized a march in Washington, D.C. earlier this month. And that march was with tribes from across the country. They held a rally outside of the White House. But beyond that, there's also a campaign that's been underway to try to get people and cities to divest their money from banks that have been financing the pipeline. And other than that, really what's going to make or break this project is the legal challenges that have been filed against the pipeline by the tribes.
But if a pipeline is about to become operational anyway, what happens to the tribe's lawsuit? I mean, is it too late after the fact? Has the tribe essentially lost?
You know, the tribe says that regardless of whether, you know, the pipeline becomes operational, it's going to continue its legal challenge. So if the pipeline does get turned on, the tribe is going to ask a judge to essentially shut down the pipeline. And so most recently, we've seen the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, which is a South Dakota tribe that has also been fighting the pipeline. They asked a U.S. District Court judge for an injunction to block the flow of oil. The judge did not grant their request. And then this last weekend, we saw them appeal to the circuit court, but the circuit court over the weekend also declined to grant their request. You know, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe back in July launched the initial lawsuit against this project. And for the most part, they really haven't found much success in the courts.
Amy, finally, the people of North Dakota, I mean, they've been through a lot so far. How do they feel about the pipeline nearing completion? Are there mixed feelings?
Yeah, I would say there are some mixed feelings. There's a few. There definitely are people in North Dakota that have been very supportive of the tribe's efforts. But I would say, by and large, there's really a sense of relief that this whole huge news event is winding down. You know, most North Dakotans are pretty okay with the pipeline and don't necessarily support the tribe's stance. A lot of North Dakotans are pretty okay with the oil industry, for example. North Dakota saw months and months of protest that in some cases disrupted life for people who were living in the areas where this protest took place. And then in addition to that, you have the state of North Dakota and Morton County, which is the county where a lot of these protests happened, that have spent a lot of money, about $40 million, responding to these protests. And so there's definitely a sense of relief that this is all winding down. But beyond that, I think that there's a kind of a legacy that's going to be left here in North Dakota of relationships that have broken down over the course of the pipeline protest. And I'm talking about relationships between tribal government and the state government, but also between tribal members who live on the Standing Rock Reservation and residents of North Dakota. And so it's going to take a lot of time to rebuild those relationships.
Amy Sisk is a reporter for Inside Energy and Prairie Public. She's been updating us on the latest with the Dakota Access Pipeline. Amy, thank you.
Thank you.